If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're actually going to look at the last two verses, beginning in verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. And I want everybody to say these next two words with me. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I've told y'all before, I absolutely love everything that God has allowed me to do in this life. I do. You know, some people have looked at me and said, you need to give something up, and I can't. I enjoy everything. It's like, you know, asking me to give up a favorite food. I can't do it. But, and out of all the things, and I love everything that the Lord allows me to do, but I'll tell you one thing that He has allowed me to do for a little over the last 3 years is to be a granddad. And as you know, we've got three grandchildren, all boys, three and under. Y'all pray for Spencer. And I love them. I've watched them grow. I've watched Landon, that's a little over three. I've watched him grow, and he has got his own little personality. And y'all pray for him. He's still not talking, but I really believe. I stand here, and I've got faith that one day God's going to loose that tongue. And I've already told Ginger, I said, the day he says Papa, he gets the whole inheritance. Everything. Everything. Colson, the middle one. I mean, now he's my buddy. And I was just telling Miss Karen, you know, Landon's a picky eater. Landon will look at food and Landon will smell of it. And if he doesn't like it, he won't eat it. Colson will eat anything. Matter of fact, my nickname for him is Fat Boy Slim. And I mean that most affectionately. And last night, we went out for Ginger's father's birthday, and when Ginger and I walked in the restaurant, Spencer looked at the kids, and he said, look who's here. And they turned around, they started smiling when they saw me. But Colson was the one that walked over with his arms up. And yes, I did pick him up. But I'm going to tell you, as I stood there waiting for our table to be ready, I got tired because he's heavy. He's grown. And then the youngest one, Maverick, 14 weeks tomorrow, I believe. 13 weeks? 13 weeks tomorrow. It's amazing how much that kid has grown in 13 weeks. His favorite place with me is when I'm sitting and I've got my legs crossed and I can put him and lay him down with his head on my legs where he can look back at me and I can play with him. And he just smiles and just loves it. But I can tell over the last 3 or 4 weeks, his legs have gotten longer because he will bruise me in my stomach where he's kicking. And I know I just hit that microphone and the people upstairs were doing this. They're growing. And you know what? That's a good thing. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because a few weeks ago, I ran into one of my friends at lunch. We were over at Subway. And we got to talking about several topics. And one of the things I mentioned was, you know, some of the mistakes that I made as a very young man, I regretted. One of my best friends in this world in Connecticut, I'm sure he is watching this morning, and another one that lives in Florida now, I'm sure he's watching this morning, and they're probably laughing right now. Because when I got into trouble, nine times out of ten, I could look on either side of me and they were there. Some of those things, a lot of those things I regret. And we've all done things that we wish we could change, right? We've all done things like that, but we can't. But because we are here today, we can say, you know what? God took care of us through it all. God watched out for us through it all. And hopefully, now that we're on the other side of that and we're a little bit older, hopefully we have matured and we've grown and we've learned from our mistakes. And my friend made this statement. He said, and we're still growing. You know what I got in my truck to leave that day? And I believe God did something with that. At that moment, God laid our scripture for this morning on my heart. And I believe Christian growth is something we need to be reminded of. No matter where we are in our Christian walk with God. I want you to remember this phrase this morning, healthy things grow. It's a basic principle in all of creation, in our world, in the animal world, in the plant world. Babies are expected to grow. Yeah, we kind of selfishly want to keep them little. But they're expected to grow. When Maverick goes back to the doctor for a checkup, Ginger cannot wait to find out how much he's grown. What does he weigh? How long is he? Now, what are they saying?
I just tell her. I can answer all that. He's perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect.
It's also true of growth when a sinner becomes a Christian. At first, we're babes in Christ, but we don't need to remain babies. We got to grow. What is healthy will grow. The concept of spiritual growth is one we often find in Scripture. Paul speaks about Christians being rooted and grounding in Christ and being built up in Him and of growing up with Him in things. It's not enough to know we are born again. That is extremely important, absolutely. But as newborn babes, we must grow up in Christ in all things. Christians should never quit growing. But we should always grow in Christ. And by the way, as an aside, Christians need to grow in Christ. Because you know what? Somewhere along the way, somebody else is going to give their heart to Christ and they're going to be a newborn babe in Christ and they need somebody to take care of them and help them in their spiritual walk, just like Maverick and Colson and Landon need their parents to take care of them and help them to grow. We should never quit growing. That implies that when we get to the far side of life, we shouldn't behave as kids anymore. As we become mature Christians, we can also eat meat, a heavier diet, while people who are still spiritual babes can use only milk. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I included this slide right here because just to give you a real-life example of how Maverick has grown in the last 13 weeks, I can remember them bringing me a bottle and saying, Papa, will you feed him? Yes, I will. And there was about 6 ounces of milk in that bottle. And I would give him that bottle, I would burp him, and he would be as happy as he could be, and he'd go to sleep in my arms. And about 2 weeks later, they bring me that same 6 ounces of milk. He drinks that down. And when it's done, he is madder than a rained-on rooster because he's still hungry. And I'm looking, going, y'all better fix me another bottle quick because he ain't done. So they fixed him another couple of ounces. And you know what? It topped him off. And he was fine. As he gets older, he needs more. There's going to come a day when that milk is not going to satisfy him. And he's going to need something a little more solid. But as a newborn baby, he desires that milk. We should be the same way as babes in Christ. We should want that. We should be hungry for it. As we get older, we want something a little more substantial. I'm 60 years old. I don't want just milk to sustain me. I like a helping of fried chicken or barbecue or a steak. Something a little heavier. The same is true in our spiritual lives. Hebrews says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those by whose reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's the question I have for you this morning. How much have you grown since you became a Christian? Are you still growing? Are you trying to grow? Do you want to grow? These words that we read from Peter this morning, but grow, grow. That's a comforting thought. But it's also a sobering admonition. It's comforting because when we grow, we have more of the Spirit in our lives with the fruits of the Spirit, as the Women's Auxiliary had discussed last year. Faith, joy, love, confidence, peace, comfort, hope, contentment. But it's also sobering, at least it is to me, when I realize sometimes how little I have really grown. In what ways must we grow? Well, the text says we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That means we grow. As we grow, we become increasingly aware of the fact that salvation is by grace alone. We don't deserve it. But God has graciously provided a way for that. And for that, God deserves all the glory. To grow in the knowledge of Christ means that we learn to know Him more as we experience Him. Knowing involves a fellowship of love. It means that you and I increase in the love of Christ so that He continually becomes more dear to us. Don't raise your hand, but if you can think back, say, 5 or 10 years to now, is Christ more dear to you today than He was back then? Do you want more of Him? Do you want to be closer to Him? Do you want to feel His hand on your life even more? I know I do. And it also implies that we increasingly obey His commandments and live by His word. Now hear me on this. To grow spiritually, first of all, means that we grow in the knowledge of our own sin. Knowledge that we ourselves are not perfect. We're hopelessly and helplessly lost sinners. Not only that we were that way, but that even today we can find ourselves in that same situation. I'm 60 years old and I hope I know more now than I did when I was 20. Some of y'all are close to 20, so you might not can identify with this, but when I was 20, man, I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I knew it all. I don't anymore. I know more. But I'm more aware of my limitations, if that makes any sense. A good indicator of Christian growth is that our sins trouble us more. That sounds almost like a bad thing, doesn't it? We don't like it when Christ convicts our hearts. We don't like it when we're convicted of things that we've done wrong. But let me tell you something. When you cease to feel that, worry. When you feel that conviction in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit trying to shake you and say, you need to make some things right. You need to make some things right. Paul in the Bible, super Christian, right? What did Paul say? Paul said, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul said, I want to do good, but I end up doing the opposite. Paul, the one that wrote most of our New Testament. People who don't feel things like this are not growing in the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is from Psalms when David wrote, remember not the sins of my youth. Man, if I could go back and tell 15-year-old Roger what I know now, I would do it in a skinny minute. I was talking to a buddy of mine one night on the phone, and we were talking about some things that we got into back in high school days. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I've lived to regret those. Not that I've had to suffer any major consequences, but it troubles my mind. I said, I wish I could go back and do it over again. And he made the statement. He said, but Roger, God kept us around for a reason. And he said, who you and I are today is because of what we learned back then. I think he had a point. Growing in Christ means that we daily confess our sins from the heart. I believe that this is a primary biblical indicator of Christian growth. But another indicator of growth is an increasing awareness that we are saved only by the grace of God. That the blood of Jesus Christ is our only hope. When I read in the Bible that His mercies are new every morning, it's even more meaningful to me now. The doctrine of the Bible where it talks about the total depravity of our sinful nature and that we're saved only by grace, it is a living, breathing reality to me the older that I get. The older I get, I lean on the promises of God. And there's a bunch of them. I'm an only child. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I'm pretty much self-sufficient. When I played basketball in the backyard when I was growing up, I was state and Carolina. State always won. Even if I cheated.
I had it all together. Then, like Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And guess what came along with that? Responsibilities. Responsibilities for my wife, my son, my church, my job, everything that I do. And guess what comes along with responsibilities? Worry. Worry. I can't tell you how many times I have gone to God's Word and I've looked it up just so I could read it, just so I could see it in black and white. I wanted to see His promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I've held on to that as tightly as I could. And by the way, He's always lived up to His promise. Always. But I learned to do that as I got older and realized that His promises will not fail. I can look back over my ministry and I have met people that are giants in the faith. Giants that have matured and grown in their relationship with God. And to talk with them and see how they act and the confidence that they have in the Word of God and His faithfulness is amazing. Growing in faith means also for us and all of His people that we will grow in confidence. We all need to increase in faith, comfort, trust, peace, and joy in the Lord. Another indicator of growth is living a Christian life in gratitude for God, for our salvation, for the fruit of the Spirit that He does give to us. It's not enough to know that we're saved, or that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There must be evidence of that in our life. Billy Graham once said this, "Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ." It's a process where we start to care a little bit less for this world and a whole lot more for God's kingdom. Don't get me wrong. I remember when I started, got out of college and I got a job, I remember one of the most important things for me was I set a goal. I was 22 years old and I said, I want to make this amount of money by the time I'm 30. And I hit it. And then I set another goal. I want to make this by the time I'm 40. And I hit it. You know what's important to me now? I don't care if they give me another dime. What's important to me now is that I live the life my Lord wants me to live and that my family is saved. And that when He calls me away to where I know I'm going, I got no doubt in that. If you get word this afternoon that I have left this world, you better make your preparations to see me in heaven or I'm going to be mad at you. Because I know where I'm going. I'm confident in that. But I want my family, I want my church, and I want people I love and I care about to be there too. You see, as we grow in living the Christian life, and we share those fruits of the Spirit with others, our priorities change. We get our eyes off of this worldly stuff. And we focus more on the eternal. The Scripture
shows also that this makes us missionaries. If the love of the Lord increases in our heart as we grow in years, we must show this in some way. Also in our testimony to the world. What is healthy grows. In all of these ways, many times the church has failed in the past. And they're still failing. Sometimes God's people become lethargic. And I'll raise my hand first. I'm as guilty as any of them. Many people are satisfied. They're contented. They're sitting in their comfortable pew. We confess the name of Christ, that we know Him. We're believers, we're members of the church, we pay our tithes to meet the budget, but we're really absorbed with the things of the world, and in many ways we are no different from many people that don't know the Lord. We have little interest in spiritual things. And Amos warned about this. He said, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." That doesn't mean we don't need to celebrate God moving in the church and be happy about that, but we don't ever need to be complacent. If we reach one, we should want to reach two. We should want to be doing God's work. If a young couple had a baby that did not grow at all for a whole year, you think they'd be worried? Seeking medical help? The church of today and all of us, we ought to be more concerned about our spiritual growth or lack of it. How can we grow in Christ? How can we grow ourselves? We can grow physically only by using the means that we are given. Eating good food, exercising, staying healthy. Spiritual growth is possible only by use of God's Word. And by the way, I believe the infallible, perfect Word of God. Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." How much all of us need that Word daily, not just Sunday here in church. In Word and in prayer, we're given the means of growing in Christ. So we do need to grow. To what end will this bring us? Well, the Bible has an answer for that. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Even if we have tried to grow in Christ and we're mature Christians, when we come to the end of our way, I am convinced that we will have to confess we only have a small beginning of where He actually wants us to be. We've been growing, but we're not there. But in his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul says the Lord gives us assurance that what He has begun in us, is He's going to complete on that day that He calls us home. It reminded me of a song that Ginger and our family used to do years ago called "He Didn't Throw the Clay Away." And if I can remember the chorus, it says over and over,
He molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor. I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He doesn't look at us and say, you know what? Roger's not growing. I'm not going to have anything to do with him anymore. Look at Roger. He just messed up what I was trying to make him into. I'm not going to have anything to do with him anymore. No, he doesn't do that. When my growth gets stunted, he picks me up. He gives me attention, and he gives me what I need to grow. When I mess up and there are cracks in my vessel, he doesn't throw that clay away. He just puts me back on his potter's wheel, and he remakes me into what he would have me to be. He gives me another chance, a chance to grow. The Lord's faithfulness will complete it all in that final day. And the growth that we have experienced in all of our lives will seem insignificant in comparison with the change that will occur at that time. In the twinkling of an eye, by the miraculous power of the risen, glorified Christ. What a comfort this is for the living, growing, and even struggling child of God. Our growth in Christ works something like this. We started off with healthy things grow, right? So if we're spiritually healthy, we'll grow and we'll want to grow. But we also realize that growing things change. Just like my grandkids. We go through growing pains. It's not always comfortable, is it? But the change that we're going through, it challenges us. And again, this too is uncomfortable because we know that we cannot meet the challenges that growth brings without God. So in turn, those challenges force us to trust God. And let me stop at that point. I had to laugh when I was studying this because it just tickles my heart when Ginger has something on a fork and she looks at Landon and she says, "Here, buddy. Here's some pizza. You like this?" And he loves pizza. But he'll look at it, and if he doesn't like it, he's gone. You better find him something else. And Ginger's going, "It's good. I promise, it's good." And he won't have anything to do with it. That's a picture of us with God. These challenges for growth come our way, and we know we can't make it without God. And he says, "Here, this is what you need. Here, this is what you need to help you grow." And we look at it and go, and we push away the very thing that we need. Don't do that. So we trust in God to meet these challenges in my life. And it leads me to be obedient to him. Whatever he says to do, I need to commit to doing that. And then that obedience makes us healthy, where we can continue to grow. This entire process gives us all hope in life. Hope of being what God wants us to be. Hope of heaven where there's no more pain, no more trouble. Hope of eternity spent with the Lord. Hope that does us well and helps us to continue to grow. It's an endless process. But for the child of God, it is a necessary process. So let me ask you, this morning. Where are you in your Christian growth? If you stepped on God's scales this morning, do you weigh more now than you did a year ago? If you stepped up to God's measuring stick, are we taller now than what we were a year ago? The question is, are we growing spiritually? Are we spiritually healthy? I challenge you to take the step this morning to make things right with God and get back to your right spiritual health. Remember, what is healthy grows. Maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're listening in, and you've never even begun to grow in Christ because you don't have that relationship with Him. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be born again in Christ today by accepting Him as your Savior. And you can begin to grow in Him as you develop that relationship with Christ. He can take your growth that has been stunted by Satan and turn it around and build you up. Do you need Him this morning? I promise you He's here. Come and meet Him at the altar this morning. Is my prayer. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we know that You created us. Father, we also know that You allow us to grow by Your grace. You've provided everything we need to spiritually grow in You. But it's our choice of whether we partake or not. This morning, Father, as we come to this time of decision, I pray Your Holy Spirit has touched every life here, everyone watching, and Father, we examine it right now. And if we're not where we need to be in our spiritual growth with You, may this be the day we make it right. If there are those, Lord, that have never even begun to grow, Father, may Your Holy Spirit touch them this morning. May they be changed and born again as babes in Christ. Father, and be on that road to heaven instead of on that road to hell. We commit this time to You. Have Your way in every life and every situation is my prayer. And will not fail to thank You for it all. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.